Bonus rooms.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Drunk Poet Society. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Felice.
And we've missed this.
Yeah. You guys, you'll never believe this, but we're in the same room together.
Crazy.
It's been a long time.
What did we record last? Dragonfly and Amber. We weren't in the same room.
No, nothing that we've done in the last 18 months, which hasn't been very much, but like nothing we've done in the last 18 months has been together.
Yeah, you would think that like... I thought that at the beginning of this pandemic, I was like, I'm going to have so much time to read. And I'm, you know, fortunately, I had a job in school and I was actually quite busy. So
I neglected my job in school. No, I did read a lot, but I read a lot of, I think I went real hot and cold. Like everything that I read in the last 18 months was either like deadly serious or fluff.
Yeah.
And I think I'm okay with that. It was like, YA or romance or, you know, social justice. So like that's pretty much what my last 18 months of reading was like.
That's me too. Yeah, I was reading a lot of social justice books as well, and then mostly just romance because sometimes you need some escapism.
Mm-hmm.
I also started reading A Nazi Boys, Neil Gaiman, and I'm gonna try and finish that this weekend while I'm camping, so. Yeah.
I was talking to my mom about that one the other day, and she was like, I just didn't like how mean they were to the brother and how, you know, they were,
Fat Charlie.
They were so they were mean to Shadow. And I was like, okay, mom, like that's what you remember from this book. All right, cool.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff in between there, but.
I also think she like threw in some American Gods. I was like, okay, like we're pretending that these are the same book. That's okay.
Actually, in my book, I got the Barnes & Noble edition where the two books, American Gods and A Nazi Boys, came in the one, and it was the cool cover. It was like a limited release type
Those
of thing.
Those nice like hardcover ones?
Super cool, yeah. The only downside is they are heavy to take around, and American Gods takes up most of that book, so I'm just reading like the last third of it. But I'm very excited. I like Neil Gaiman a lot.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. You got me a gift card to Chevalier for my birthday, and I got a Neil Gaiman book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that and Son of Achilles. So those two are like deep in my TBR, but like I'll get to it.
Yeah.
Well, here we are today. And of course, you know, what could bring together Felice and Taylor, but some Bridgerton, or rather the novel that inspired the Shonda Rhimes show, The Duke and I, by Julia Quinn?
Julia Quinn, And this is a bodice-ripping cover if I've ever seen one. Mm-hmm. I went to my local bookshop, shout out to Paperback Alley in Goleta, California, and this was the last copy of it because, of course, Bridgerton just... blew up, but the shopkeeper was really sweet. I brought it to the front, and on the back of my cover, which is like, you know, the original, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's you'll see it on Instagram if you follow us, a very sexy back cover there. And I always feel a little awkward when it literally is the bodice ripping type of like covers, and I just slid it across, and she's like, I'm shocked I still have one of those in stock. It was very sweet.
As someone who worked in a bookstore, nobody cares.
Thank you.
Speaking of when I worked in a bookstore, I read so many historical romance novels when I worked at Barnes & Noble because, you know, there was a crazy discount and, like, I was a lit major in college and so I wanted to read stuff that wasn't Brit Lit all the time. And I have no idea how I did not read this book because it was published in, what, like, the 90s?
2009.
Well, this cover looks like it was published in 1995.
It looks way later, but when I think about 2009, it does shock me that was, what are we in, 2021?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was 13. 13 in the year 2000. Oh, man. I would not have been reading this book in the year 2000, although I did bring a romance novel to school once.
Scandalous.
In eighth grade, and I was like, I can't read this in front of anybody, like, because it definitely, it wasn't that it was the front cover, and maybe some of you guys listening will remember this, but it was, like, after you opened the front cover, then, like, the second cover is the bodice ripper, so, like, the first page, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, we do have a cocktail, obviously.
Yes, and this one, I kind of figured we would go the champagne route, just because... felt like that was correct, but you actually found this cocktail.
I did, and we have to give credit to Whimsy Soul. which is where I found this online. But it is essentially a cocktail that is called Wet Your Whistle Down. And I enjoy that very much.
Good pun.
Not to mention the fact that this cocktail has a lot of elements that we tend to enjoy in cocktails. Like, I enjoy champagne more than you do, but it is mostly a gin-based cocktail. So in order to make this cocktail, you want to take 1 ounce of gin, half an hour of elderflower liqueur, we use St. Germain's, 3/4 of an ounce of lemon juice, and if you really want honey syrup, if you, like I said, if you Google whimsy, my soul, you can look up the recipe for a honey syrup. We decided to omit it just because...
Neither of us are super sweet people.
No. So we shook that up and then poured it into a nice little cute coupe crystal glass with some champagne on top. So cheers.
Ah! It's okay.
Oh, that's on my foot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
It kind of just tastes like Prosecco. I wonder if it's just because it's floating on the top. I get a little Saint Germain.
And I get a little lemon, because you'd added extra lemon.
I did.
I think maybe as we go down, we'll get more of the gin or something. I mean,
maybe.
I like it because if it was straight up Prosecco, it'd be way too sweet for me. So I think because I'm getting the lemon in that first sip, I'm like, oh. Also, it's over 100 degrees right now.
It's so. It's very, very hot. Yeah, literally 99 degrees according to my watch. Yeah, no, it's way too hot outside right now.
Oh, you're right. It was originally published in 2000. I wrote that down. For some reason, 2009 was in my head.
Oh, I don't know. No, yeah, I just read it on the book.
Yeah. I just wanted, really quickly before we jump into it, I put in my notes, warning up front, there will be foul language and in this episode because I have uncontrolled anger at this book.
There will be no censorship
also,
of our language.
It is a romance, so it is intended for mature audiences due to sexual content and as my aforementioned foul language.
Yes,
so
yes.
Just putting that up in the front there.
Get ready. Buckle in, folks. So I want to start by saying this book, was one of those that was told to me by a friend, like, okay, well, the first book's not that good, but the rest are so good. And I was like,
it's like one of those shows where it's like, oh, it's not the first two seasons. You just got to muscle through it and then get into it. And I'm like, I don't know if I have time nor the energy.
I'm pretty sure Schitt's Creek is one of the only shows where I was like, I guess I'll do it. And then I was like, oh, good. I'm happy that I did that. Yeah. A lot of times with shows, I'm like, not into it. But I unfortunately, broke one of my own cardinal rules, and I watched the show before I read the book.
Wow.
Because, I was stuck at home, you know, and the library had this book on, like, back order forever, and I'm trying not to order on Amazon, and I couldn't go anywhere, so, I watched the show first, and, so forgive me, I suppose, before we begin, if I mention something, and it definitely was not in the book, because that is the first thing that I think you and I kind of chatted about a little bit earlier, was that there's so much added in the show that is not in the book.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because I think I have friends who did read this book, and I don't know if they liked this first one, The Duke and I, or if they were just into the series, you know, once they got into it, but they were like, oh, why'd they change so much in the show? And when I watched the show, I was like, thank God they changed so much in the show, because there's so much about the book that I just thought was garbage.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, okay, so I imagine that all of these books are about separate Bridgertons, right? Okay,
yeah,
so we've got...
that's what I gather. It's like that you get
Antony, you get Benedict.
Colin.
Yeah. Hyacinth, I do like that name.
That's a solid name.
Eloise, love that name too. Yeah. Solid names in this family. Yeah. When you have 8 kids, you gotta like give them solid names.
I was gonna say, I think in the book I remember they were kind of making fun of like, haha, the Bridgerton children with the alphabetical order. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's kind of cute.
That's how I remember
it
too.
I kind of like them better than the everyone gets like a D name or everyone gets a B name, because my family, they do that a lot. We have, you know, my dad's.
Oh, yeah.
Or my dad's. My dad and his brother.
All the R's.
Dad, all the R's. Yeah. And that's what happened with my cousins. We're the only family who kind of like broke that mold on the side. So.
Oh,
but
I
like the alphabetical thing. That's kind of cute.
Yeah. Well, and it, again, it made it easier for me to remember their names. Like if I'm thinking, or who's the oldest? Like, Antony's the oldest because it's that. Also, I was reading it the whole time. I realized, Antony and Anthony spelled the same way. So I was like, oh, okay. I've been reading it in my head as Anthony, but it is Antony. It's kind of like lieutenant versus lieutenant when it comes to like British people versus us and how we say that differently.
That's true.
Yeah.
Let's get started with the prologue here.
Okay.
So this is set in the 1700s. the Duke of Hastings has desperately been wanting a son, and his wife has just not been able to deliver that. A lot of miscarriages, stillbirths. It's very tragic, but the Duke of Hastings just seems to like not give a fuck and be like, give me my son because I need someone to inherit my land and my fortune and my name and all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finally, she is pregnant. She gives birth to the son.
He like literally doesn't let her leave the bed the whole time she's pregnant too, right? Like she just has to like lay there.
You gotta stay there.
Yeah.
So Duke of Hastings, like second Simon, that's the son, is born. He's like, he takes the baby, runs outside and shows like a crowd like, this is my son. I have him. He's
didn't pay attention
here.
To the his no, wife.
Don't care. She's still
don't
like
care about her
she's
at all.
Literally dying in bed.
Literally dying.
And she unfortunately dies due to complications. Seems like Duke Hastings couldn't care, like
does not care.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. I have my son. This is brilliant. Then he like fucks off to London for 2 years. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, nurse, can you raise my son Simon for me? I'll be back. Peace out. Comes back. Is like, is my son an idiot? He can't speak yet. Shouldn't he be speaking at 2 years old? Nurse is like, you know, everyone takes their
own
time.
But he's so smart. And look at all these other things. He's like, I don't give a shit about those other things. Yeah, he's an idiot.
Like, he can't, you know, oh, great. He can draw pictures and write and spell and do all this stuff. But he can't speak. The one thing he's supposed to. And I was like, this is a weird arbitrary thing that you're expecting a two-year-old to do perfectly.
How can he be duking it up if, like, he can't talk?
Also, I don't think my brother spoke until way late. But he was, like, running around before everyone else. So, and he's a genius, so whatever. Shout out to Casey.
Good work, Casey. You overcame the odds.
Who couldn't speak for a while. but anyway, so like Duke is just like, all right, peace out again. I'll be back in 2 more years. Keep raising my son. Make sure you do.
I don't even think he came back. I think he was like, bye. And like,
yeah, he comes back when he's 4 years
old. Okay, he does it again. Okay.
And then he's like, oh, can my son talk? And little kid stutters, has a stutter. And no joke, I think I quoted it here. Yeah, Duke calls him a half-wit. And it's just like, I can't leave my title and my inheritance to this idiot. And you're just like, wow, strong start to a novel. Oh, and here's the part, though, that so Duke is like, don't want anything to do with you. You're no longer my son. I'm going to pretty much, people are going to assume you're dead. We're done. He leaves back to London. And that's where, at the end of the prologue, it ends with, if he, being Simon, couldn't be the son his father wanted, then by God, he'd be the exact opposite. And by that, I don't really know what he's referring to, like, by the exact opposite. You know, it's like, you find out later, but it was kind of like, what does that actually mean, be the exact opposite?
Like, not a dick?
Yeah, like, are you just going to be not a dick? Because what we come to find out is... Actually, I won't jump ahead to that part. I was going to talk about what he doesn't want to do, you know, later.
Yeah.
But it's like, how is that the exact opposite? Like, I don't really understand how those correlate, you know?
I do not know. That does not make sense. But yeah, no, like, you're only kid and you're not going to have another one. It's not like, and here's the deal. Okay. Plot hole. People remarry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Hugh Hefner had children into his, I don't know, like 70s or whatever. This dude probably could have remarried after his wife died and had another child. Especially if he was like, Simon, bye! You're not really my kid. Go have fun at Eton. Later days. So, little tiny plot hole there. But, poor little stuttery Simon with just the love of his nurse and the staff. Because, of course, he was undoubtedly a charming child that everybody loved.
I guess I just don't understand, like, what about a stutter would hold the Duke back from, you know, like, does the Duke notoriously give a lot of speeches? Like, I guess I don't understand the role of the Duke.
I think that...
Is it just, like, public perspective type of thing that the stutter would not be good for?
I think that in those days, and possibly even still now, the House of Lords exists, and I imagine that Dukes take part in politics.
Mm.
in the House of Lords, I think. I don't know. I'm going to have to actually look into that because I don't really know very much about British politics other than, you know, that there's a prime minister and there's a House of Commons and House of Lords.
I think I was talking about this recently with someone. I was like, I really don't understand how their government works to any full kind of extent.
But. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that if you are a duke, you have to, but also you've got like a steward who's going to take care of your business dealings. And like, so you talk to the steward, you don't have to like talk to your tenants or anything.
I guess different times, so I probably don't understand all the inner workings of it, but whenever you put a plot point forward that essentially determines the rest of this character's development and life and how they move about the world, I want it to be a strong enough story to have, like, legs. And that's not to diminish, like, I have friends who have severe stutters. One's incredibly cool. The only time he really doesn't stutter is when he sings, and he's an absolutely brilliant musician, and that's just like what he does. So it's like, I know that schooling and education and stuff can be difficult when you have a stutter or any kind of speech impediment. But I guess, I don't know, it seemed like not a strong enough start for me, if that makes sense. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
We needed a wounded hero with a hard past that was, you know.
But it seems like he was able to overcome that stutter pretty quickly. Like, by the time he was 11,
It seemed to only come out when he was, like, high-pressure situations, which I think is actually possibly probably, like, a common thing of if you have kind of been through speech therapy, like, that's maybe when it happens.
Yeah.
But, he needed to have a reason for the plot to move forward, and it was kind of contrived, but that's okay.
That's okay.
It's a romance novel.
So we're flashing forward to, you know, now we're in the early 1800s. And we meet Daphne Bridgerton.
We do.
The, you know, lead.
The diamond in the highest whatever.
Sure, yeah.
Yep. So one difference, I suppose, that I can bring up between the show and the book is in the book, it's like her third year being out, essentially.
She
like,
should have already found a husband.
She should have already found a husband. And her main problem, or what she thinks is her problem, is like, oh, everybody just thinks of me as a friend. Like, everyone's friend-zoned me.
Yeah.
And so nobody thinks of me as, like, a
I'm
romantic
no callers.
Thing. No callers are coming to my house.
So weird to just be, like, sitting all day being like, is there a man coming to woo me?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that sounds... God. That sounds like the 19th century. It's fine. I kind of enjoyed... In the show, it was like, oh, this is her first season, and she's like the belle of the ball, look
that
at
was
Daphne Bridgerton.
Totally different. Yeah,
yeah. But you know, it's you get introduced to her family, and as you're learning about Daphne, you're like, oh, okay, so this is kind of a little high pressure. Like now, mom is like, okay, you kind of got to make it happen, and I think maybe Antony as well. She's kind of like, dude,
to be honest, all the older brothers, because, like, if you remember, every ball that they go to, especially the first one, Lady Dansbury's ball, always coming after the boys, like, oh, you have to meet these women and blah, blah, blah. So, the fact that Daphne's been on the market for a few years, that means, like, Antony and Benedict and Colin, they've got to start
there.
Getting married off, too.
Oh, but they're allowed to sow their wild oats. They're boys.
Yeah, they get to, like, you know, pick and choose and, you know.
Also, like, how old is Daphne supposed to be? Probably, like, 20 at that point? You figure if it's, like, her third season, maybe 21?
I'd say, like, 20. I think they got started early.
Yeah, they do.
She's young. I think, yeah, she's young. I don't know if they specifically say how old each of the siblings are supposed to be. Daphne, she was just not a strong female lead for me in the book.
And I don't feel like you get enough, you don't get to know her enough. Like, you learn her motives, you learn, like, she does want to get married, she wants to have a family, she wants to have these kids, and I don't know, like...
I mean,
she's kind of boring.
Yeah. Just sole purpose in life is.
I know everything about men.
Except
like, I feel like that's all
don't.
She said to, especially to Simon. Like, oh, I know what men are thinking. Oh, I know what men are doing this.
Yeah.
Like, I have brothers. Like, okay, honey, I hope that you don't know what men are thinking like this because you have brothers. Because,
yeah,
They're your brothers.
Yeah. And so she fell flat kind of from the moment I met her in the book, you know, just very tropey in a lot of ways. Like, just sole purpose is to get married and have babies, which is like, again, like
the whole first half of the book is a total trope. Yeah. And it honestly didn't last long enough for me. The second half of the book was a little bit too much. Like, we're not spoiling anything here. After the wedding was too much of the book.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't need that. As far as like, so the biggest trope I would say in this is the pretend relationship. Like, and that's something that you see in, I don't know, I'd say like one out of every 10 romance novels that you read, contemporary romance novels. Yeah. Like, oh, we're just doing this to like trick somebody else.
It's either the trick or the friends with benefits, where it's like, oh, we're not really falling for each other.
Oh, yeah, no. We're just messing around.
But then, oh, whoops, we fell for each other. Like, who could have seen that coming?
Oh, man, how weird. So essentially, Simon and Daphne, like, well, Simon really, saves her from
from Nigel,
a very unfortunate situation. And,
so Nigel has proposed like multiple times.
Yeah.
And the thing about this scene is just like, he's like, well, if you don't marry me, like who's going to marry you?
Oh, who's going to marry me? Is that what he did?
I think he said, who's going to marry me? It was a very whiny, like, whatever. He's like, ah, but who's going to marry me? And Daphne's like, that's not my problem. And because she also, I mean, it's hard because, like, as I was like, my feminist heart just, like, ached. Because anytime you tried to be the strong female lead, it just fell into a different trope. So it's like, oh, because I grew up with so many brothers, Nigel came at me in this, like, hallway, so I just decked him, which is like should be a strong female moment, but just fell so flat for me.
Yeah. Also, like, kind of good for you, dude, because didn't she knock him out?
Yeah.
Yeah, like she cold knocked him. Yeah. So that was actually pretty fine. I have a cousin who is English, whose name is Nigel, who is 70. And that is all I could think of the whole time that I was reading all of the stuff about Nigel. I'm like, I know he's not a 70-year-old man. I know this is not my cousin. But, like, that's all I could think of because he's a British man named Nigel.
Hey, you know. but we find out, you know, that Anthony and Simon are old buddies.
Yes.
You know, so that, and that's important because...
And, of course, they meet at a ball.
Yeah.
Young reader, if you've read the book, like, you definitely, you know all these things. Everything happens at balls.
Everything happens at balls. So Simon had happened upon this scene and thought he was like, I'm going to have to save this damsel in distress from this annoying guy who keeps proposing, but, you know, Daphne knocks him out, and then it's like, haha, that's crazy. Should we go dance now?
Or it's like, they have this argument, and it's like, oh, but should we... what should we do? Like, should we get him into the carriage? Am I going to stay here? Are you going to go there? Like, what are you going to do? You're wasting my pages. Like, just figure out a plan.
So then they go dance together and everyone sees them dancing together. And that's kind of where they're like, Simon says, oh, well, you know, everyone sees me here. And everyone's mothers basically wants me to come meet their daughters, and it's just like this never-ending thing of like girls just being thrown my direction. He's like, I don't want to get married. That's something I definitely don't want to do. And Daphne realizes like, oh, maybe if I'm seen dancing and flirting with the Duke and he's courting me, then all these other suitors are going to come around calling. I like using all the terminology calling.
And they do
to my house.
She's not wrong.
And so they hatch their little ruse that they're going to pretend to date. And of course, we know that doesn't work. But before we get too far ahead, I do want to introduce our cocktail namesake.
Lady Whistledown.
Lady Whistledown's papers. So that is, you know, the gossip columnist of the time. She knows everything about everyone and all of the ins and outs of everyone's relationship. But... obviously, big point of difference if you've read the book and seen the show. Spoilers, if you haven't done one of those, you might want to
do whichever
one you haven't done yet.
Like, we won't tell you who Whistledown is, but the show, we learn.
Yeah, we learn who Whistledown is. And I have not read any more in the series, but I'm assuming that we learn at some point, but maybe towards the end of the series, or maybe we never do learn who Whistledown
is. Maybe. I hope we learn during Colin's book. I don't really want to read it, but, like, that's the one I'd like to learn it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But... yeah, so we don't learn that,
but we do learn about Whistledown.
But we do learn about Whistledown, that's correct.
Yes.
So,
like 1815s Perez Hilton. I guess Perez Hilton was very like 2010, but still, that's Lady Whistledown.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of the book is just like talking about, oh, how good of friends Daphne and Simon are, mm-hmm. and like, you know, how it's working. She's getting so many callers, but she's also, you're obviously learning about how she is developing feelings and how it's like, oh, no one's good enough. And of course the mother's like, ah, oh, you have to marry the Duke. And mm-hmm. Daphne knows, ah, oh, I can't marry the Duke because mm-hmm. the Duke doesn't want to marry, blah, blah, blah. Flash forward to, I think, where some of the storyline starts to really push forward again is Daphne and Simon are in the garden and they shouldn't be there and they're caught canoodling.
There was not nearly enough sexual tension before that.
Yeah.
Like, it was all like, we're best friends, this is so good. And it's like, no, this is a romance novel. This isn't real life. Like, I just wanted, I feel like maybe the show did a better job at that because of the fact that you have so many elements. Like, you have the music, and you have this, and you have that, and more time, and mm-hmm. you can have the sweeping shots without me needing any dialogue or anything. But, like, it didn't feel like there was enough build-up in the book between Simon and Daphne. And that was part of my, like, after the wedding was too much of the book. Like, I wanted more of the build-up before this canoodle that they had in the garden.
Yeah, and so they're, you know, they're being passionate and kissing and stuff in the garden, whatever. Antony.
What a coincidence. Antony Bridgerton just like...
And of course,
out.
Also, we know along the way, Antony is just like, you can't be courting the, or you can't be with the Duke.
You're a rake. You can't court my sister.
Yeah, yeah. Simon's known as the playa. And so Antony's being very protective. But of course, I think Antony gets let in on the ruse, if I remember correctly. Like, they have to let him in on the ruse. Yeah. But then he's like, this isn't a ruse because look at you two canoodling mm-hmm. in the garden.
Yeah. So Antony gets pissed and there is a duel.
And I think that's a great time to
take a break.
We'll be right back. This is a really good one. A duel's coming after this. See you in a little bit. All right. Welcome back.
Part two. It's coming. Okay. So we got a duel. Yep. Like every good story. What was the last one we did? Oh, there was a duel in our last episode because we did mm-hmm. Dragonfly and Amber.
Yeah.
Also, side note, I have since watched the entire series since we recorded that episode because, like summer and no school and, you know. But yeah, no, definitely watch all of Outlander.
I've only seen season one.
I'll give you my... No, they're all on Netflix. I don't have to give you my Stars login. So we're at the duel... Daphne is just like in her room pacing like, oh my god, they're going to duel. Simon won't marry me. He keeps saying he won't marry me and I don't understand. We have this connection. And I think Colin, maybe, mm-hmm. Colin like tells her where to go.
Yeah.
And so she like runs. What am I talking about? She gallops. She gallops on a horse. She's like running over there, stops the duel. And that's when Simon drops a bomb. And he's like, yo, I can't marry you because I...
can't give you children.
And I feel like we're using very specific words on purpose, like I cannot give you a family, and he knows that that's important to Daphne, and I think by then we know like they're in love with each other but like they just can't be together, and Daphne is like, fuck it, like okay, we'll just get married.
I love you,
you're gonna die, my brother's gonna die, somebody's going to jail,
so it's like we won't have kids, we can still do this.
I mean, and to be fair, she does have 7 siblings. There will be babies.
Yeah.
There are babies. But understand, okay, if your only goal in life is to, you know, be a duchess with children, just being a duchess, like, kind of a bummer, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I know friends who feel like their calling is to be a mother. She's like, you know, it is a really big thing where it's like, when you thought you were going to be, like, mm-hmm. a mother your whole life, that could be... shocking, but you know, it's like she loves this guy, whatever, in her head He can't have kids.
He can't do it.
He can't have kids. She doesn't, but that leads me to this point, which is she doesn't know why or how or the mechanics of how freaking
she doesn't know how sex works.
No clue.
I feel like I've read some, I've read a lot of Regency novels. I've read a lot of historical romance. And that is a common thread is that like women are ill prepared.
Yeah. And her like, mom just does a god awful job of trying to explain
the man
anything.
Will know what to do.
Yeah, like, and you're just like cool, know what to
great,
do.
Awesome. What? With what? What do you? It's more than anatomy. Like,
and then even the
I've had brothers. It's fine.
Yeah, and so you know, her mom says something like, you know, some women don't like it the first time. That it doesn't feel good. And so Daphne's like, oh, why would I do this thing that doesn't feel good? And then she's like, oh, you've done it 8 times because she's like, I have siblings, and she's like, oh, I've done it more than 8 times, and she's like.
What?
Absolutely. She's like, hey, this is very personal. I was like, Mom, you give the birds and the bees talk.
Just talk like, to her.
Come on, man.
So they have their lovely wedding, which was fast. It was like one of those, like, it wasn't an elopement. They didn't go to Scotland. Again, read a lot of novels. They didn't go to Scotland, but like they got married very quickly. And wedding night. Wedding night, like Daphne, I think like the Simon suggests like 2 separate rooms, maybe.
Well, first it's like, oh, we're gonna stop or we're gonna just keep riding through the night or something. And Daphne's like, wait, we're not stopping we're not, to rest
I'm sorry,
anywhere.
It's our wedding night.
Yeah,
dude.
and she doesn't even know what she's asking for because, like I said, she doesn't know what sex is, and so she. It's just like, I know something is supposed to happen. It's my marriage. Like, also, crazy to think that she's been, you know, out looking for husbands, like, for 3 seasons, and none of her friends have told her what sex is. Like, no one...
Even Simon in the show, going back to the show,
yeah.
he essentially, like, encourages her to masturbate. Like, yeah. Oh, have you done this?
Yeah.
Have you touched yourself?
And which I actually
like,
thought was
what?
Kind of an empowering plot
yeah.
point. Way better than the book.
Yes! So it's like, good job, Shonda, whoever did that. Yeah. But, like, yeah, she has no idea. And so Simon's like, oh, I guess there's, like, an inn or something. Like, we can stop
yeah.
on
and
the way.
And she's, like, an inn? And then she's kind of like,
he's like, food's good!
Yeah.
That's always what dudes say. Like, oh, this is a great inn. Like, there aren't a lot of vermin.
There's a Chili's to go.
So like it's the same kind of like virginal sex that you've read about in any type of like romance novel, whatever, except for one plot point, which is, and Daphne does not think anything is wrong, but Simon pulls out.
Yes. And she doesn't have any, she just thinks
this must be how it
exactly
works.
Exactly how it works. I yeah. feel great. Then mm-hmm. he just... does something over there, and that's just how sex is.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, right. Moving on. So
easy cleanup.
Oh,
good
first,
for you or something. Yeah.
Doesn't she think that by consummating the marriage, because she thinks he can't have children,
yeah.
that he can't have sex?
Oh,
that was
yeah.
the initial
yeah, yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. then he's like, oh,
no.
Excuse me. I know to sex.
Yes.
I know how to sex.
I know how to sex. I can do the sex.
So, but then she's like, oh, okay, great. Maybe that just means he physically does not have the ability to have kids. I don't know how he knows
and
that
because
I don't know what kind of testing they have at that time.
Oh my God. Maybe he had his like testicles trampled when he was a child by his pony or something.
I don't know.
Okay. So my question now, because I don't remember, how does she find out how children are made?
So they make it to his actual estate.
Yeah.
And he
is it
finds
the housekeeper
that,
okay.
you know, raised Simon.
Yeah.
And she's the one who is, you know, talking about, like, their kids. And Daphne's just kind of laughing, like, haha, knowing that she'll never have kids.
Yeah.
And the housekeeper mentions something about strong, like, semen or strong seed.
Strong seed.
And she's like... seed, tell me more. And she essentially gets the birds and the bees talk
from her housekeeper.
Yeah, freaking finally gets the birds and the bees talk, and she's like, oh, but I don't think she really connects the dots until the next time they have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Sees him pull out, and he's like, oh, liar, like points, and she's like,
You fool, like, you thought I was a fool. You took advantage of my naivety and my immaturity and the fact that my mom didn't want to tell me about these things. That is your seed. You can have kids. And it's like this epiphany moment of just eruptive anger.
And I want to say that the anger's there and it lasts, but like not for too long, because the next time they have sex after that, Daphne, she doesn't rape him.
Okay, take it back.
Okay.
So he goes, like, they got into a fight. Yeah. He goes off to a bar, gets massively drunk.
Oh, I just want to set the scene. He pieces out.
Because I have opinions about this.
Yeah. He gets pissed. He comes home.
Comes home. He's, like, asleep, unconscious, like, drunk sleep, you know? Then she's like, I'm going to go back to my own room. Because they had been sleeping in separate rooms because they had been in a fight.
Yep.
Due to her finding out that he had been lying to her the whole time, saying that you can't have kids. He's like, well, I never said that I can. I just said I won't have kids.
I will not give you kids. I made a vow, goddammit.
Because I don't want to pass on my family.
I don't even think he explains it. Well, like, maybe he does later, but he's not articulate. Well, that's the wrong way, the wrong thing to say. Like, he doesn't articulate exactly why. Like, my dad was a dick, and I made a vow that I will never will die with me.
Yeah, that's it. It was like, the name and the line will die with me, which, again, if you're going to be the opposite of your father, it's just like, raise a nice kid, right?
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick is the opposite.
That's really...
Don't have kids.
No.
Like, or if your wife can't... keeps having miscarriages, like, maybe stop trying to have kids. Or, like, maybe...
It's the logic of a 16-year-old boy that just has carried on till a 26-year-old man, because that's probably how old he is. And it's like... not solid logic. Okay, so he's real drunk.
Yeah.
And Daphne gets on top and doesn't let go.
And here's the thing, though, is as it's described, and the reason why I wanted to be particular about this point is because I would call this rape. I would.
He was real, real drunk.
Yeah, he was very drunk, and this is to quote, so Daphne's newfound knowledge of baby making, quote, Daphne had aroused him in his sleep, taken advantage of him while he was slightly intoxicated. I would call that more than slightly, but he was intoxicated, and held him to her while he poured his seed into her, while he made eyes, of the contrary, essentially. So it's like, did he say no? No.
Yeah.
Did she know that he did not want to have kids? Yes. Affirmative, yes, she knew he did not want to have kids. He had only ever pulled out, and he was intoxicated, and she forced him.
She raped him and basically just said, fuck you and your ideals, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's where I was just like, I went from just being like bored of this book to mad at it. I was like, you...
Everything. They're both horrible.
Both horrible. Like,
every time, okay, so with your sister and our friends, Zach, and my sister, we've been watching Sex and the City.
Mm-hmm.
And
By the way, I heard about that, and I was like, wait, why wasn't I invited to Sex and the City?
We've already talked about you're doing Younger next. Like, you can jump on the Sex and the City train if you're available on Thursday evenings.
I'll jump on Younger.
But, like, the biggest thing that we always say, mostly Carrie, because Carrie fucking sucks, what we mostly say about Carrie is, like, the communication. Like, you're bad. You're supposed to be my age. You're supposed to be 34, 35 years old, 36 years old, whatever. You can't communicate for crap. That's why you have terrible relationships. Yeah. Like, this is awful. These people, well, they're babies. They're very tiny, young humans in a rich world with opulence. But they don't talk to each other. Like, if all Simon had to do would be like, my dad was a dick, I made a vow, I'm not having children because my dad was a dick. And Daphne would have been like, No, she wouldn't. She's immature. She's 20 years old. But she maybe wouldn't have raped him. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There could have been a lot of more open communication on everyone's end and a lot less rape had everyone openly communicated.
And now I'm trying to, now that we're discussing this, like, it's making me think about the show. Because sexual assault on men is really, really not talked about very much. I know that in the show she definitely, like, her motive is the same, but I don't know if, Like, he's definitely mad that she did it, whatever. But I think the sex was consensual, at least. It was just the means of ejaculation that were non-consensual in the show.
No, but also in the show, they reframed it. He was not drunk.
There
was no intoxication on either of their ends. And I think it was more depicted as, like, this really passionate, lustful, where he just completely...
He got lost in it.
Yeah, he got lost in it. It was not depicted as he was trying to say no or in any way was he, like, whatever. In the book, he was clearly very intoxicated.
Yeah.
And there was a line in it saying that he had this look of, like, oh, God, and actually tried to push her off but was too weak to. So that's where I'm like, even though there was not a verbal no, there was, like, there was a no associated with it. Where in the show, I think they really got rid of any indication that it was anything other than consensual sex.
Well, and there was still a no there, though.
Yeah.
Like, even in the show, what she did was wrong.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't the consent for that. But yeah, the drinking...
It just added a whole nother layer.
Just because it's a man does not make it okay.
And I even kind of note down where it's like, look, in a lot of these kind of historical romance things, we deal with rape. Like, Outlander is full of it.
Yep.
But there, I think what... It doesn't make it okay in other books, but, like, what makes it, like, acceptable is that there's a clear good guy, bad guy. The bad person...
Simon's a bad guy.
Like,
his dad's a bad guy.
But, like, in Outlander, the person who is raping someone is the bad guy. Whereas in this book, you're supposed to weirdly, like, still side with Daphne and root for her. And I'm after this, I'm just like, I don't care about Daphne at all. She has been immature and young and naive and rude and not really open to communication. Simon's also been a bad guy. He's been a jerk. He's lied. He's, you know, not told the whole truth to Daphne. They've both been terrible communicators. But then she rapes him, and we're still supposed to be like, oh, and they fell in love at the end. And I'm just like, I don't care anymore, you know? This is a terrible relationship.
Well, and essentially the rest of the book is like, oh, she runs away and waits for her to get her period. Oh no, like, her brothers come to him and are like, man, she loves you, you love her, and then it's like, oh wait, you didn't get your period? I mean, you got your period, you're not pregnant?
Yeah.
I guess, well, I'm okay with it now, like, what?
Yeah, they decide that they love each other, then they go on to have three girls and a boy, and you're just supposed to be, like, all tied up in a bow, happily ever after, and I, at the end, I was just like, I was hate reading it, because I'm like, I have to finish this book, but... This relationship sucks. Mm-hmm. It's built on lies and terrible communication. And
everyone else in this book, all of the other characters are better than these two. And I think that's maybe why everybody is like, oh my God, the first book sucks, but, like, read the other ones. The other ones are better. And it's like, maybe. Because at least what I will say about the way that they have set up Bridgerton is the tertiary characters, which will eventually, I believe, turn into main characters, depending upon the season. You learn more about them and they're more interesting. Like, I loved learning about the Featheringtons in the show, and you don't get very much of that in the book. I did like all the feathering... oh my God, I almost said Witherspoons. That's a restaurant. Whistledown. I liked all the Whistledown papers. I like those very much.
Yeah.
But, like, more of the historical context was in the show. I thought they represented the king and queen very well in the show.
And what an interesting story
representation in the show with the king and the queen,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, the whole king not being present for a specific reason. Yeah. And, you know, again, not trying to spoil things, but it's like they delved into a lot of other relationships. And they make you excited for the next season because you learn more about Antony and you know that he is going to be a main character in, I think it's the next season.
Probably.
I think it follows him.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, people were all bummed that the guy who plays Simon, I'm blanking on his actual name.
Sean Reggie something.
Yeah, brilliant. I think he did a great job, but he's, like, not coming back. And everyone's like, oh, I wonder why. And it's like, oh, well, the series really follows different characters. Maybe it's just
also,
not
also, I think there are whispers that he's going to be Bond.
Dope.
That would be really cool, right? And there, I feel like that, you know, that's speculation at this point. I hope it's going to be true because I think he'd be a really rad Bond.
Yeah.
But they've also said that, like, I want to say I've heard Idris Elba might be Bond, and, like, I'd super here for that too.
Yeah.
They're both real hot. Like, I'm here for it.
But I just think what we were just talking about this. I don't know who in the writer's room or if Shonda Rhimes or who read this book and thought, I can turn this into something great, because yeah. I read this and thought, this isn't...
I want to throw it on a wall.
Yeah. Like, this isn't worth my... What? Hold on the inside cover, it tells you how much I spent on it. This wasn't worth my $3.50 that I spent on this
book. Oh, yeah. No, know? At least I borrowed it from the library.
But... yeah, no, we'll definitely rate it. We'll do that. But like, I don't know. Like I've read romance novels in my life and I've read some bad ones. I mean, I know that if you've been listening to our episodes for a little while, you would have listened to us talking about like the kiss quotient and other romance novels were like, oh my God, like mm-hmm. some of the language and stuff in these books. This one was just, like, not compelling.
Didn't care about any of the characters.
Because I watched the show first, like, that was my problem. I watched the show first, and I was like, this is charming. There are things that, like, are lacking about it, but, like, okay, this is charming. I get all of these cool characters, and I'm sort of enjoying these relationships. You get to know the mom a little bit, and especially, like I said, Penelope and Eloise are, their, like, friendship is so sweet, even when it's not, like, it's, like...
Loved all the side characters.
Lady Danbury, like, particularly plays, like, a pretty big role, and I missed that. I missed it.
This was a very shallow book for me. It was shallow, and... because I didn't have strong feelings about the main characters. And it took you kind of convincing me to watch the show that I was like, oh, I'm glad I did, because it was worth the watch. Yeah. Totally different from the book.
And it kind of feels like, it's definitely like a frivolous watch. It's not something that...
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's enjoyable. And, you know, here's the deal. This isn't... Okay, so it's not a closed-door romance. Julia Quinn doesn't necessarily write closed-door romances. But, you know, it's not... they depicted it as very romantic. And I think that even some people might consider Bridgerton, the Netflix show, like, mildly pornographic.
So this is just a really weird...
How many Netflix shows have cunnilingus on the stairs of the house?
Or, like, I was like, oh, I wonder if it's in... I'm forgetting the lead female's actress's name.
Oh, I don't remember.
Anyways, the girl who plays Daphne. Mm-hmm. For the first few kind of sexy scenes, she had no nipples showing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, I wonder if it's in her writer. And then later, I was like, oh,
no, no, that's not her writer at all.
It's all over the place.
Yep, yep. No, I also noticed that. But, like... yeah, so it definitely, I feel like as an adult, like if my husband walked in when I was watching Bridgerton, he might be like, what the, oh, okay, like I understand what this is. Oh, but maybe if I was like...
Sam walked in on me a couple times, he's like, what are you watching? I was like, he watched an episode with me. He's like, oh, okay.
Maybe if I was like 17 or 18 and like living at home, I might be like, oh my God, I don't want my parents to walk it on me watching the show. Or like living at home, like I don't want to watch, this is not a show that I would want to watch like with
weirdly, I felt like some of the most empowering scenes was her kind of masturbation scene where I was just like, you know what,
good for you.
Also good for Simon for saying like, oh, before we actually engage in anything, you need to explore what
but
you like.
But I think
like,
that was still just them being friends though. But they had like, they had chemistry and there was like, that even the build up where like, just like the they were in the gallery and like just their hands brushed. I was like, that's what I'm missing from this book. Like, I'm missing that sexual tension, that buildup.
Yeah.
Because if not, they're like, where's the payoff? And I don't know.
So. I don't know.
Well.
I don't know what else to say other than...
Cocktail's better than the book.
I've been thoroughly enjoying that. I'm excited to write it. All right. So, I don't know where we left off last time. In terms of ratings, who does book and who does cocktail.
I don't think it really matters. So it's kind of whatever you want to take today.
I'll do the cocktail.
I'll do the book.
Which one do we do first usually?
Cocktail.
All right. Well, I know there's 21 chapters in my book, so that was going to be my number.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to do 21 choreographed dances. Because I always love in, you know, that time period how everyone knows these choreographed dances. Like, I wish I lived, besides like maybe line dancing, I don't know.
Yeah. No, we don't have, like, Pride and Prejudice type of, like, ball dances or anything that everybody just knows.
That'd be cool, though.
The quattrole or
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to do it out of 21 choreographed dances.
21 choreographed dances. All right. Would you like to begin?
Sure. This is cocktail, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 20
Which is shocking because it's Prosecco.
Yeah. It's not very much Prosecco.
No, it's not. But yeah. I mean, can't go wrong. It's gin and Saint Germain. Mm-hmm. I like the lemon. I think that cuts a bit of the sweetness from the mm-hmm. Prosecco. I enjoyed sipping on it.
Yeah.
I would even dare say if I was, you know.
Have another?
I would have another.
Have another.
So I'm giving it 20.
I think I'll join you at 20. I think that I need a little bit more tart. And I don't know if, I don't think that Saint Germain changes with age. So I'm trying to see if, like, maybe if it was a newer bottle of Saint Germain, if that would change my opinion. But, like, I'm pretty sure Saint Germain is the same no matter what. I don't think it changes. So, like, it's just one thing. Like, just a little bit more tart. Maybe not lemon. Because mm-hmm. I know that.
Maybe
like a rosé Prosecco instead of a, like, just something to kind of.
Like a drier champagne. Like a drier sparkling wine instead of a Prosecco.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had Kirkland Prosecco in the fridge, you know?
Sometimes we use what we have, and that's fine.
Well, and I keep that on
tap.
In-house. I keep it in-house. Because sometimes during the summertime, something like an Aperol Spritz just sounds like such a delight.
Yeah.
Although, we'll use this for another one, but I text Tail the other day because I was like, I made the most amazing cocktail, and I just want everybody to drink it now. But, okay, so I gave it a 20. It's good, but, like, something could have made it better. So 20 chapters. All right. Okay, I'll rate the book. I'm going to do it out of 8 Bridgertons.
Solid.
I'm going to choose my Bridgerton. I'm going to give it an Eloise, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 1 out of 8. I'm going to give it an Eloise, and that's because she's my favorite Bridgerton, because she actually seems to, like, have a head on her shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe is a little bit of a blue stocking, which we can appreciate here at Drunk mm-hmm. Poet Society.
So you're giving it a high one. I'm going to go a Daphne Bridgerton.
Oh!
I'm giving it a low one. I'm going the lowest of the ones. I'm going...
We don't know about Gregory or...
That's true.
Hyacinth has a cool name, so we can't really, like, give her grief.
But that's why I'm going the lowest one possible. I'm going Daphne Bridgerton.
I often, like, if this book hadn't been on my iPad, I probably would have thrown it against the wall. Like, I'm not gonna throw my iPad against the wall.
I had a really hard time. Like, I would do things, like, I'd be sitting in bed at night and I would just, like, close it frustratingly and, like, look over at Sam and be like, I can't do this, and I'd have to open it and keep reading the chapter.
I read this at the I was reading this and I was reading Well Met. Is that the second one?
The first one. Well Played.
Oh, Well Played. Yeah. I was reading Well Played at the same time. I'm just realizing I never talked to you back about Well Played the other day. But I think I read them at the same time, and obviously one of them was so much more fun to read,
even though
still problematic.
Yeah. Problematic, not great, but way, way better.
Way better than this! Yeah. So I went back and forth with this one.
Well, shout out to Well Met and Well Played. That's DeLuca.
Read them both. DeLuca? Is it Jen DeLuca? DeLuca is definitely the last name. If you like contemporary romance and Ren Faire.
Well Met was brilliant.
Well Met was amazing. Well Played was fine. I'm excited for the next one. I don't know the name.
I don't remember. It's Well something. Well done. I don't know. It's all about steak.
That would be good. That would be really, really good. Well, let's see what we have in our future. It isn't either of those, but unless, like, we're only a romance novel podcast now.
We just need an escapism.
Dude, it's rough out there, you guys. Romance novels kind of make it a little bit better. I know now that I'm not in school anymore, I feel like I don't have as much of an excuse. Like, that was my excuse. Like, oh, I have to read hard stuff for school, so I'm just going to, like, read romance on the side. I don't really have that anymore.
No, but I do want to read another Mary Roach in the near future, you know, because I want to read either Bonk or Gulp or one of those. I love Stiff.
I love Stiff.
I kind of want to reread Stiff because I forgot a lot of it.
I listened to a lot of Stiff, and I think that was particularly awesome because she read it.
Yeah.
But let's see. Are you reading anything at the moment that you feel like mentioning before we go?
Well, I just finished Well Played.
Okay.
That was, like we said, it was fine. It was fine. Problems. But Well Met was great. I just started 5 Feet Apart.
Okay.
And I've not read that before. I know the movie came out with one of the Sprouse people. Cole or...
I don't know which one was which.
Anyways.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
I don't think it got negative reviews, but I don't think it was, like, wildly popular. But I've only heard good things about the book. Okay. I've just started it. And then, like I said, I'm reading some Neil Gaiman right now. That's why I'm bringing camping with me this weekend. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I've been listening to, and it's really long, so I've been listening to it on 1.5, The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. Mm-hmm. And I've been enjoying that very much. It's got, like, it's not necessarily time travel, but it's, you've got gods and immortality and deals with the devil kind of stuff. It's good.
Awesome. Oh, I also finished, because I was listening to it, and I had to drive to San Clemente and back, mm-hmm. The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. And
did you finish it?
That was very fun.
It was so, I finished it on my way home from your house last time I was up
there. Well, maybe we talk about it at some point, because that was
so
a fun good. One.
That was great. So, yeah, if you guys are interested in listening to that, I would love to talk about The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Love that book. If you have any suggestions for us, I was going to say, you like know all the places to get
DPS,
us, but do you?
At DPS underscore podcast on Instagram.
The same on, the same on Twitter. Mm-hmm. We are at drunkpoetsociety@gmail.com. Drunkpoetsocietypodcast@gmail.com.
You can leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/drunkpoetsociety. Yep. Link's also in our Instagram bio. Mm-hmm. And I think coming up next, we're doing Harry Potter.
Yeah, we've got a Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah.
Which has a chamber of problems.
So I'm excited to talk about that one because, I love always talking about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And then coming up after that, we've got another romance, I guess.
Oh, we do with a special guest.
With a special guest, which I'm very, very excited about.
Oh, man. I really enjoyed that book.
Same.
All right. So we'll make sure that all of our reading lists are updated on the Instagram. And please send us some recs, maybe especially that aren't romance. You know, we keep saying, like, we're going to do a sci-fi.
Yeah.
and we should. We should definitely do a sci-fi. So.
Yeah, I don't think I have any on my TBR list.
I don't think I do either.
Yeah, it's mostly just, like, easy reading. Thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts on The Duke and I.
Oh, God. Yeah. Or just Bridgerton. If you want to talk about that instead, we can talk about that
instead. Yeah, if you want to shift gears, just talk about something you like.
Just don't tell Julia Quinn that, you know, the show's better.
Yeah. But remember, guys, as always, it's not drinking alone.
If you have a book.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Hey guys, this is just Taylor coming back in for a quick plug. We love hearing from you and I really enjoy the voice messages. So if you want to add anything to the conversation or have your voice heard on the end of the next podcast episode, you can go to anchor.fm/drunk-poets-society. There's a dash in between drunk and poets and society. So anchor.fm/drunk-poets-society with dashes in there. Leave us a voice message, and here's one that was left a little while ago, but one of my faves. So yeah, join the conversation. Talk to you later. Bye.
Well, hello. I just wanted to send a little voice memo. First time. I just wanted to say you guys are doing a great job. I appreciate all the content you guys put out there. Really appreciated that you put out that Watchmen episode. Great guest. Lovely guest. Love the Good Omens one too. You got a lot of solid episodes out there. And if a first time listener to this particular episode, well, you're in for a treat. Go check out the other episodes on me. All right, bye.